If we don't have clarity around our why, then what we end up doing naturally in business is we end up just operating from an analytical or a rational point of view in which we're trying to convince people. And we do this by, you know, focusing on facts and figures and statistics, and we're trying to convince rationally why it is that you should choose to pay me what you pay me to do what I do. That can lead to an immense amount of frustration because that's not how humans are operating. It's not how they connect.
Das war Robert J. Hill, hier zu Gast im Hochzeitsvideografie-Podcast. Dem Podcast für alle, die bessere Hochzeitsvideos drehen, ihre Wunschkunden erreichen und ein profitables Business aufbauen wollen. Robert ist Hochzeitsfotograf, früher auch Videograf und vor allem Business Coach aus Amerika. In seinem One-on-One-Coaching hilft er Menschen, ihr Warum zu entdecken, herauszufinden, warum machen wir eigentlich das, was wir alle tun? Und dann mit diesem neu gewonnenen Wissen ihr komplettes Business einmal auf den Kopf zu drehen. Sei es im Marketing, sei es in der Kundenkommunikation, im Kundenservice. All das ist komplett revolutionär für das eigene Business, weil es einem Klarheit gibt und es einen klaren Pfad weist, wo es hingehen soll und wie man sich selbst in seinem Business präsentiert. Ein extrem spannendes Thema, wie ich finde, und ich freue mich riesig, dass er heute zu Gast ist. Hey Robert, thanks so much for coming on today again. Just maybe for everyone's listening, we had a little hiccup last time. We're doing it the second time. We've had that conversation 1 week ago, but I mean, we're just gonna make it even better this time. So yeah. So if you wanna just introduce yourself to everyone who doesn't know you and just tell them who you are and what you do.
Yeah, yeah. So my name is Robert J. Hill. I go by Robert. The J is really just something I add in there for branding purposes. But I am a business coach based out of Portland, Oregon, so the west coast of the U.S. I have been doing photography since I was 15 years old. Started my first business when I was 16 years old. Started out running a business for about 3 or 4 years, got super burnt out, took a full-time job for several years, came back into the industry and really focused on weddings at that point. And primarily I was focused on destination weddings. And things took off really, really quickly, way faster than I ever imagined that they could. And so I went full-time pretty immediately. And then I ran my business for 6 or 7 years, and started doing some education as I was doing, photography and again, destination weddings, primarily traveling a lot. And the education thing, I think, is what just really spoke more to my soul. And it took a bit of time, but I eventually just found such a greater purpose in the education realm of things and in really being able to help people build businesses around who they are build something that's very unique to you. It was something that I struggled with really, really early on. I struggled with a lot of a lot of ideologies and thoughts that I needed to do a certain thing or that I should build something. And so that journey definitely was not an easy one, but it led me to the point that I decided to jump full time into education and into business coaching. So I do a bit of kind of personal coaching and business coaching. I definitely find that there's a very deep intertwined kind of link between the two in terms of what it is that affects us personally and how we bring that into our brands and in our businesses and how we show up and serve people. And so, yeah, I'm kind of covering a wide range of stuff, but that's what I'm doing now.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I have to really say that I found you online through a good friend, Max, who has also been on the podcast. He's like a just a genius when it comes to Facebook and Instagram advertising. And I found you through him and found your group, which is also awesome. It's the Work Less, Make More Facebook group. And so everyone check that one out. And yeah, you just provide a lot of different like free content around, your main thing is finding your why, but also different like all a huge range of different topics when it comes to like, building a business around yourself and who you are and your story. So maybe we can really dive into that right away, because I think, first of all, people, then be like, okay, he's a photographer. And but you also did some videography, right?
Yeah. So early on, video was my first love. I actually picked up a video camera when I was 12. And so I was doing video for several years. I fell in love with motion. And I still am very much into movies. They're a huge inspiration for me. So I think several years of working in kind of the motion side of things, that ended up turning into me getting into a lot of digital graphic animation, a lot of After Effects. I never quite went as far as like 3D and that sort of thing. But that digital graphic animation kind of started to turn into graphic design. And then eventually, my dad's a photographer as well. So he was the one who actually put a DSLR in my hands for the first time and was like, hey, you should try this. And I picked it up really quickly because I had already had kind of that background in video. So, I mean, when I started video, yeah. it was back in the day. Like I was working with what were they even called? I forget the name of them. It was
a camera.
I'm trying to think of like the type of tapes because it was tapes back then. It wasn't digital hard drives, but it was like not mini 8, but it was like the larger whatever 8 was, the tapes, you know. And so those kind of handheld camcorders is really what I started with and then evolved from there. Got a GL2, Canon GL2 when I was maybe 13, 14 years old. And then that just evolved into there. And so there was a big shift for me when I switched over to photography and DSLR, and then Canon dropped the Mark II and the 7D. And when I got to shoot video and photo collectively, my whole world changed at that point, just because I could actually do both things that I love to do in one, in a really simple way too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, before we go like dive deep into finding your why, I was just interested, last time I didn't ask you if you did any wedding videos as well, like actually market yourself as a wedding videographer, or did you like notice that the photography was then the maybe not your only love, but where you like wanted to go also professionally in your business?
Yeah. When I was 16, I started my first business, and it was all things for all people. So I was I marketed myself as like a multimedia or production company, which I wouldn't say that I was necessarily either, but kind of. I was doing primarily video stuff. So weddings were part of those things. I think my first wedding I ever shot was a video wedding. I got paid like $500 to shoot a beach wedding. And it was terrible, so bad, terrible lighting. I knew nothing. it was horrible.
Nothing.
Yeah. It was those first 3 or 4 years of doing everything that, that really kind of led me down the path that I've been led down. And you know, I didn't say this last time, but I was thinking about this last week, just as I was kind of reflecting on our initial conversation. My first business, was really interesting because, and this was something that kind of came about in the last year for me. And I think I felt a lot of shame and judgment for this for a long time, but the name of my first business that I started when I was 16 years old was actually called Inner Light Productions. And as cheesy as that sounds, it was kind of like, I'm going to pull out the inner light within you type of thing. And I had this revelation this last year, just because that was something that, you know, being a teenager, I wouldn't say got made fun of it, but it was definitely kind of an ongoing joke amongst my friends that, you know, they kind of poked at this Inner Light Productions type of thing. And I had this realization this last year that like, it's what I'm doing now. Like it is actually, in some senses, I am helping people really learn what is that spark, that light within them that we can draw out and actually build an entire business and an entire life around now, and do it in such a way that leads to however much money you want to make, whatever kind of clients you want to make, and the type of life you really want to live. So that was kind of a crazy revelation that I had this last year. But yeah, weddings were definitely a big part of that first business that, honestly, I would say my initial weddings that I was shooting really are part of the reason why I stopped shooting too, because I was just like, I can't stand this. And it wasn't until I stopped shooting video weddings and started shooting photo weddings that I actually started to find more of my purpose in that area of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. We're already right into the topic of what you do now. And maybe you can talk a bit about how you ran your business maybe in the beginning stages. And then how that resulted in what you already described as like being completely burned out, being in a dark place. Yeah. And how you then got out of that and use what you then learned and are still learning to help others.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that business is a lot of times when people speak about business, and this is so natural to do, we've been conditioned to kind of think like this, is we think about business in terms of something outside of ourselves that we do to make money. And so people think, all right, well, I'm a photographer or I'm a videographer, so I'm going to, start a business and I'm going to start shooting things and I'm going to make a living doing that. And when we take that approach, which we're conditioned to do, if you actually look up the definition of business, it says an occupation, a profession, or trade. So it's kind of like you do something that you're good at, that you get paid for, and the better you get at it, you get paid more. So that's what I did. My first business, I was kind of doing all things for all people. I stopped. I took a full-time job. I came back in. I was focused. I was niched down. I specialized at that point, and I chose just photo, just weddings. And it was at that point that when I jumped back in, my business took off way faster than I thought it would. My goal was 5 weddings in my first year, and I ended up booking 30.
What would you attribute that huge taking off so quickly?
Yeah.
What would you attribute that to now looking back?
Yeah, looking back, and it's fascinating because even this last year has been a big testament to recognizing what that was. Looking back, the thing that really helped me take off was that I was doing something that aligned with my values above everything. I was hyper-focused on the things that I felt were in alignment with me, and that's all that I was focused on getting. And so early on, it was the types of people that I wanted to work with. I was starting to learn about branding, and I just got really hardcore about my brand, and not just from like a visual aspect of my brand, but the places that I shot, the decisions I made when I walked into a room in terms of what I incorporated into photos, the type of people, the type of relationships I wanted with people. Traveling was a huge value of mine. And so I really wanted to travel, whether that was driving 2 hours away or flying 22 hours away, I wanted to travel. And so everything that I did was focused in on what it was that I deeply valued. And chasing those things is what definitely caused all of that rapid expansion to happen really, really quickly. And I think that it's something that's so key because now I help people. That's one of the things that I do with people up front. It's one of the first things I do with people because when we aren't living by our values, we're living lives of desperation instead of inspiration. And that's such a key thing in business, right? Because we can get so wrapped up in the ideologies of, we need more tactics and strategies in order to get clients. And it's like, if you aren't inspired by the people you're working with, then all those tactics and strategies mean nothing, And so, so I definitely take a unique approach to helping people in business because I really rip down the walls on everything that you think you should do. And help you creatively come up with something that's going to be in alignment with you so that it's something that only you can do. And it's not something that you anymore have to be in this competitive and comparison mindset with people because no one else can be you and no one else can do what you do. And so that was definitely a big factor early on for me, it was a big factor, but it was also something I wasn't conscious of at the time. And so being that I wasn't conscious of it, I focused in on a few of my core values, but I missed some as well. And so that's where I took off really fast and it got really intense really quickly. I had, in that first two years, it took me about 12 months to book my first traveling destination wedding as a photographer. So I grew up in a small town in Florida. I was kind of this small fish in a small pond. And within 12 months, I was an international photographer. I had grown to about 40,000 followers on Instagram. So it was just like rapid change in terms of eyeballs on me. And I think it was at that point that I started to internalize a lot of things, and I started to really take on an immense amount of pressure. And that pressure that I took on turned into an immense amount of anxiety and an immense amount of just like workaholicism. Like I was just nonstop working around the clock. My first year of business was actually my first year of marriage as well. And I was working about 90 plus hours that year and for the following years. So it was pretty much my first year of marriage, and my marriage was kind of non-existent. And so it was in those times that, you know, I remember having these beliefs that like, if I'm not working, if I'm not giving this much time, if I'm not stressing out and showing up and doing all things for everybody, even though I'm focused in on what I do, then it would all fail. And that all of the success I built and the money that I had made and all of that would just go away. And so I developed an immense amount of fear. And it took about 4 years for that kind of just nonstop go to finally hit a brick wall. And when it hit that brick wall, it all fell apart and it all crumbled. It was the hardest thing I've ever been through, but it honestly, looking back, is the best thing I've ever been through. And it's something I'm so grateful that I went through, because it definitely shifted my gears and it definitely helped me become who I am now.
What would you say were the main reasons for you to feel the pressure to work 90 hours a week and to kind of, were you always comparing yourselves to others in the industry? What were the actual reasons, now looking back, that you found yourself like developing that pressure, that anxiety?
Yeah. It took me time to figure it out. But the biggest thing that really pointed to all of it was just that, and I think this is so common for anybody who's in a creative field. You know, we're visual artists. So we're going out and we're photographing or we're filming and we're creating these visual elements. And so we're focused a lot on the look of things. And as things ramped up, and especially as more eyes came on me, I started to shift into a place in which I was more worried about how things looked than how things felt. And for me, especially being a man growing up, I wasn't emotionally aware growing up. I didn't have, I wouldn't say an expanded emotional capacity. My parents, those weren't things that they taught me. Really tuning in and understanding who I am and identifying those things and processing emotions was not something that was valued and supported and kind of encouraged growing up. And so that as the following grew, as the travel schedule grew, as the money grew, as all of those things grew, I felt like I was trying to maintain an image. And I felt like I needed to create a certain type of work there was an immense amount of comparison. There was an immense amount of perfectionism. There was an immense amount of people pleasing amidst all of that. An immense amount of imposter syndrome as well. And it's interesting because all of those things really link up. Most people I work with come in and they're feeling a lot of those things. And that's kind of the core work that I'm doing now, is helping people no longer deal with those things. Because if we're not feeling those things, then we're actually on track doing what it is that we need to be doing. And so, it was an immense amount of comparison that led to the fact that, that led me to that point of breaking. It led me to the point of, 2016, it was a year I was going into that I thought was going to be the best year of my life. And it ended up being the worst year of my life. I had an immense amount of kind of tragic events happen that year, and I was too busy working to actually process them and deal with them. I had friends that died. I had, animals that almost died. I bought a house. My wife was actually diagnosed with a really intense autoimmune disease order. I had an employee quit. Those are kind of some of the big things, but there was just a lot of things that happened. And while those things were happening, I was going from country to country to country to country to country to country, shooting different people, different places, different currencies, different languages. It was just like nonstop, go, 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 go. And I couldn't process the information. And by the end of 2016, it was just like a tidal wave of emotions that I couldn't hold up anymore. So that just kind of broke me down, and it all kind of rooted in this place in which I was doing some things that I very much valued, but there was other really core values of mine that I wasn't living up to. And I didn't feel like I knew how to truly show up authentic and just true to myself, and from a place of vulnerability as well. That was a huge, huge thing for me, is that I needed to be right. I wanted to be the best. And I realized that year that just I built a business that was really solely built upon my ego, rather than building a business that was of a greater level of service to people. And I'm a huge, like, service-hearted kind of person. I served my clients really well. But I served my clients really well once they were engaged with me, once we were having the experience together. But everything that I was doing prior to my clients coming in to work with me was all ego-driven. So it was like, let me try and be the best and show the best and, you know, be perfect in everything to where I could attract what I thought was the right people. And then in turn, give them this experience. And I didn't realize that you can do the exact same thing, that experience, that service that you provide once somebody is actually working with you, you could actually do that beforehand.
I can relate to a lot of what you were saying. Obviously, all of our experiences are different, but having that feeling, that comparison feeling, trying to be perfect, trying to the visual aspect of everything. It seems like, I can imagine that a lot of people listening right now are like, okay, I can really relate to what he's saying, and maybe even feel like, okay, that's exactly where I am right now, or where I might heading. So what ended up helping you getting through that? Was it something you read, something you watched, some people that helped you get through it? What really kind of made that mindset shift, maybe, and started getting you out of that and to where you're now?
There was not one specific thing. It was kind of a string of events that really helped me. The thing that broke me, that really started this shift, was I was shooting a wedding in Bali, Indonesia, in the summer of 2016. And my wife was there doing a yoga teacher training. And one night I decided to go to a gong bath meditation, which is essentially kind of a 2.5 hour long meditation where it was just like this striking of gongs, and you're kind of just listening and just kind of seeing where you go, essentially. There wasn't much information to it. I had never done anything like this before. It was very interesting. I was just starting to get into kind of yoga and meditation a bit. And that event, some things happened during that meditation that I couldn't explain. And there were things that that just rocked me on a soul level that it's almost ineffable to speak to it. But things that definitely shook me in terms of coming to a realization that I have no clue what's going on. And that was the start of it all, because I had grown up in the church, and my religious background in the church and my beliefs had kind of led me to this point where I thought I knew what was right. And I thought that I was doing it all right, and that if you weren't doing what I was doing, then you're a failure and you're not, you know, worthy enough, or whatever the mindset was, you know, that I, for whatever path, not that that was even the intention of people, you know, with me growing up, that that's what they were trying to impart on me, but that's just naturally what came about in me. And so that experience kind of ripped me open. And I kind of almost, I almost think of it looking back as like, I just had this shell, this like lifeless, unconscious shell that I was living in, that I was just kind of operating from an analytical and rational point of view, very masculine energy. And that event kind of ripped open this feminine energy within me, this emotional energy within me, to really start to understand myself. And so as I dug into those questions of why am I feeling this way and where did this come from? And I started to learn a lot more about that. I started to read a lot about that. I'd say the initial learning of all of those things put me farther into a depression, just because I started having this rapid expansion of awareness that came about, of just identifying everything about myself that I didn't like. And it took about 2 years until I finally actually reached out and asked for help. And I never did therapy, but the first person I ever reached out to was actually a business coach. And so it was working with a business coach up front that really started to help me identify some blocks that I was having on a business front. And that's where I started to see the personal side bleed into the business side. And the biggest thing that came about was vulnerability, and how I was just unwilling to be vulnerable. I almost didn't even have the capacity to be vulnerable. I remember being asked questions that my answers to the questions, like looking back, I can recall to this day how much ego I had in those questions, because I just could not be vulnerable, you know? And so it was really challenging to start opening up and just sharing that, like, this is how I'm feeling. And I don't know how, why I'm feeling this, but this is what I'm feeling. And just being very honest, very open and very vulnerable. At first with a few individuals, and then as well, kind of with the world publicly, that came in time. But it was business coaching. It was reading a lot. It was doing experiences that felt very uncomfortable to me, and things that I felt even a lot of fear around stepping in and choosing to do those things. As well as just giving myself a lot of time and a lot of space to have more introspection, to, you know, I started cultivating a meditative practice at that point. I started to really read books around what it means to live right here, right now, rather than being in the past or in the future. A lot of anxiety and my worry. I was dealing with chronic anxiety at the time. And so I was waking up with anxiety. I was going to bed with anxiety. I was constantly worried, constantly stressed, constantly ahead of myself. And that was kind of due to this. My mind was constantly in the future. I was constantly fearful of not making money, of not being good enough, of not doing the right thing. And so it was really kind of honing in and learning how to live in the present moment, and just be right here, right now, and find kind of this inner alignment within myself that led to just this rapid change in how I felt and in what it is that I was doing. And even that reflected in my work on the photography front, but then also on the education front, because I find that when you're operating from a place of ego, the amount of value you actually deliver to people is very limited. It can only be understood and comprehended from another ego. But when you're operating from a place of self, from a place of deep value, from a place of intention, from a place of authenticity, you're really speaking to kind of the soul of other people. And this is kind of where the why comes in. Because when you're speaking to the soul of other people, one, trust is being built, but also they start to see themselves in you and you in them. And in turn, they're actually magnetically drawn in to work with you. And they actually see how working with you would have a bigger impact on their life than just, I'm going to give you this money and you're going to give me this product or service in return.
Maybe explain a bit what the why means, and finding your why of like why you exist. We talked about that last time. That was like really fundamental, or just why you do what you do, why you do the type of business you do, and how that translates in the business, how that actually like then affects how you maybe talk to clients on a phone call, how you present yourself on social media, how you serve them later on during the shooting of the wedding, editing whatsoever. So maybe talk about that a bit.
I love this topic because I find that you know, finding your why has kind of been somewhat of a popularized thing in the last couple of years, or at least since 2007 when Simon Sinek did his TED talk on it. But most of the information that I consumed on finding your why was super vague, and it wasn't clear on actually how to find your why. Finding your why is so much bigger than asking the question of why do you do what you do? It's a bigger question, like you said, about considering why it is that you exist. Why do you wake up every day? What's the thing that you actually feel naturally motivated to show up and do? And so if you don't have clarity around that, you're kind of operating more from an analytical or rational point of view. And so the fascinating thing, and Simon talks about this in his TED talk, but that we kind of have these three brains. He kind of draws this in a diagram, kind of like a bullseye going inward, and our outer brain being our neocortex, rational analytical thoughts. It's kind of where we're analyzing information and making decisions off that. Going internal from there, we get our limbic systems. That's where actually decision making is happening. That's where kind of emotions are starting to live, and where we're starting to process things there. And then on the inner brain, we have the reptilian brain, or the dinosaur brain. And this is kind of instinct and intuition. And that's kind of this core level of ourself that is really kind of this guiding principle in terms of why it is that we show up and why it is that we operate in the way that we do. And so if we don't have clarity around our why, then what we end up doing naturally in business is we end up just operating from an analytical or a rational point of view. And so the way that we communicate is this really communicating based off of fear. We're kind of operating on this monkey brain, this outer layer neocortex brain, in which we're trying to convince people. And we do this by, focusing on facts and figures and statistics, and we're trying to convince rationally why something should, why it is that you should choose to pay me what you pay me to do what I do. That can lead to an immense amount of frustration, because that's not how humans are operating. It's not how they connect. It's not actually why they buy. People are buying from an emotional place. Every single decision that we make when we spend money is emotional. Whether it's buying a Lamborghini or whether it's buying a Hershey's bar, we're buying that emotionally based off of how we want to feel. And so once you get clarity around your why, you can start to speak, and the way that I like to think of it is almost you're speaking on like a different level of dimension, where most people, and I would say, I'd roughly throw out, there's no data behind this, but I'd probably say 80 to 90% of businesses are operating on this surface level, rational, analytical thinking when it comes to communicating in business. But when you dig into this deeper level, this 10% of people, 10 to 20% of businesses, you're actually far more effective, far faster, and far more efficient at what it is that you're doing, because you're actually speaking to the soul of people and you're connecting on a deeper level and you're actually drawing people in. So a lot of times people that, maybe they're not working with the right people, or maybe they are really struggling to make more in their business in terms of more money. Maybe they aren't finding a lot of fulfillment in what they do, and they're just kind of like, yeah, I wake up every day and I just do this thing because I make money and then I can go and do whatever I want with this money. There's this level of fulfillment that we're not hitting. And we're not hitting that partly because we don't have clarity around what uniquely is our why. Why do we wake up? Why is it that we are in existence as human beings? And what is it that we're actually trying to do? What's the impact that we're actually trying to make by doing the work that we choose to do?
Yeah, it's so, so interesting, because I mean, I can really also feel, I really relate to the analytical side, because that's kind of what we kind of seem to be naturally like inclined to do at first. Like, right, it's in a phone call communicating, like, okay, we film in 4K and we have these absolutely amazing audio recorders, and you'll get like 55 more minutes of a movie with us compared to the competition. Like, it's those features, facts, this rationality behind it. And I can really just talk from own experience after like dealing a bit more about the topic of the why, and trying to like really, whatever that means, like dive deep and think about, okay, why am I doing that, and trying to communicate that also in phone calls. I personally noticed that, like, the last phone call actually was the first one the couple just booked on the spot.
Yeah,
which was crazy. And yeah. I used a PDF that you gave out in your group, had a little workshop on phone calls.
That's
that was
awesome.
Just amazing. It was absolutely mind blowing because I took the time to think about, maybe it's not the perfect why or whatever that even means, or the what really is it. But I tried to just tell them a bit about my story, how I ended up doing what I do and going, just being more vulnerable. And that really also felt good on my side. It was nice to open up, and one could really then, we got the feedback like a few days after that. Okay, we talked to a few other videographers, and you were definitely the most expensive one by far, but we just want to work with you guys. It just was clear for us from the get-go, just kind of connected. And that was just, it was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That stuff's crazy. Yeah. And I think it's important to not, like, again, try to use this as some form of manipulation. Do you see people then might feel inclined as well to say, okay, that's just another trick to get those people booking?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that you asked that. It's not because what's fascinating about it is that we all have a certain level of awareness, right? And when I say awareness, I don't mean awareness as in like I'm conscious right now that there's a computer in front of me and that I'm talking to Jan and we're having a podcast and all of that, right? I'm talking about awareness, like energetic awareness, like an awareness of feeling, something that when you walk into a room, you can feel certain energies, right? And we all have this, right? We all have had a point in our life that we have felt the elephant in the room, right? That thing that's not being said, but it's like right there, right? We all have this intuitive feeling within us that we can tap into. And first off, getting clarity around your why, it takes vulnerability. It takes honesty. It takes openness. It takes authenticity to actually speak those things. And that's kind of where this can't actually be done manipulatively. It can, in terms of if you were going to go really deep into that, you could definitely, you know, there is a manipulation to somebody being aware that maybe they have a higher awareness than other people. And in turn, I could notice the vulnerability in somebody and I could actually draw them in. Right. So, you know, you could probably think of situations that in which, I don't know, like you go out to grab a drink and you meet somebody and you know, there's dynamics of people that, you know, they choose to take a step towards somebody and then all of a sudden things don't work out and then they feel betrayed. And there's always an element of betrayal that can come with anything, right? But from a place of authenticity, people can feel that. And the speed at which somebody moves towards you is directly related to that. Authenticity is the most intoxicating thing in the world for people in terms of what they actually are drawn to. We may get distracted for a little while. We may, you know, go after the shiny object, right? I love the example of like chasing after an educator that has hundreds of thousands of followers only to realize that you paid them thousands of dollars for their education and you didn't actually feel any transformation and any change or any growth in the impact, fulfillment, success, financial income that you make in your business. And you're sitting there mm-hmm. then just looking at yourself going, it's on me and I'm the one to blame, right? There's an element there where absolutely, you know, there's the saying of with great power comes great responsibility. Like there is always going to be a responsibility for somebody who is elevating their awareness and operating for the service of other people, right? But from a place of authenticity, that's something that people can feel. And I don't know if that even answers your question. I would say that yes, it could be used as manipulation, but at the same time, authenticity can't actually be manipulated if it's truly authentic. And that's what I think people can feel more of.
Yeah, I agree. So maybe we could go a bit deeper into your process when you work with people and people come to you and say, Robert, I feel like this I'm stuck. I'm kind of in this, just as you described it before, where you were and having that pressure kind of comparison, and you're not like living really aligned with your values. And how do you go about working with those kind of people? And what's the process then to really find why you do it and how that translates then again? Is it like phone calls, or where do you maybe recommend people then implement those newfound realizations?
Yeah, so I love that question because I do things so differently than most people that I see, at least. And why or what it is that I'm doing differently is, first off, I don't work with everybody. And I am when I first start with somebody, I am reading their willingness above everything. How willing are you to actually come in and get coached towards something? And that's not to say that I'm all knowing and that I know all of this, but having the energy of willingness when somebody comes in is key for me, because if you're not willing to do the work, then you're not going to get the results, and I can't do the work for you. And so to kind of expand on that a little bit, what I'm doing differently compared to other people is I don't tell people what to do. And I think that that's a really hard thing for a lot of people, because a lot of people feel so lost and so confused and so not clear that they are just wanting somebody to tell them what to do. And there's an element of telling people what to do, right? But there's a bigger element for me in guiding people to figure it out for themselves and doing that in a very effective and very efficient way. Which is something that I've refined over the years and that I continue to refine going forward, because I believe that length of time that somebody can actually dial themselves in, find more alignment with themselves and start making different decisions in their life, that can be sped up. And so when somebody first comes in with me, I'm reading their willingness and I'm just listening. Creating safety is a huge thing for me. You will always know if you don't feel safe with somebody, because you'll start to feel it, right? And you may not be able to identify and go, you know what? I don't feel safe right now. I should leave, right? It's mm-hmm. gonna be in this, I'm gonna slowly work my way out of this, right? And it's the same thing with our clients. Clients will choose to work with you, just like you said earlier. I love that you use the phone script. Clients will choose to work with you, and they will choose to pay you more if they feel safe with you. And so creating safety trust. Is absolute trust. Exactly. Trust comes from safety. And so when I first start with somebody, I'm really just listening. I'm genuinely curious. I'm getting into a conversation with them. I'm asking questions about who they are. I think a key factor to any bit of business and any bit of service and any bit of providing value to people is you will only provide the value to others that you've provided to yourself. You will only serve people to the degree you've served yourself. You can only take care of people to the degree you've taken care of yourself. And so this is where like you get into that inner world, inner journey, like deeper work that you're doing when, you know, behind closed doors, that will always prove itself when you're not behind closed doors anymore. And so really just listening to people, learning about who they are, learning about who they're not, but who they want to be. And then helping them start to take actionable steps to align with that. And so a lot of people who come into me, who come in to work with me, they're the biggest focus. And it's fascinating because every time I ask the question online, the number one thing that people struggle with is marketing. Marketing is the biggest thing. And people are struggling with marketing, but at the same time, they're like, I want to raise my prices. And they're having people that are just like, just do it, just take that step, right? And a lot of times that communication that's happening between people who are saying, just take the step, what they may not be recognizing is that these people are either consciously or unconsciously living or consciously these people are either unconsciously living by their values or unconsciously not living by their values. If they're unconsciously living by their values, taking the step to raise your prices could work, and you may find success in it, because it's like taking a step in having courage, right? Taking a step into fear, but knowing deeper within you that you're actually going to be able to warrant that price. Whereas if somebody's not living by their values and they're just not clear and they're like, yeah, I'm going to charge an extra $1,000 or whatever, all of a sudden inquiries stop, nobody books, ghosting starts happening, and they're just like, I don't know what to do, but now I'm going to diminish myself even farther and drop my prices because I'm clearly not good enough. And so there's an element of really helping people build a solid foundation that I always start with. If a foundation isn't set, and that foundation is who you are, what you do, how it's different, who you do it for, why you do it. If those five things are not crystal clear, in which you can come out and share all of that with the world confidently, if those five things aren't in alignment, then the results that will follow in terms of marketing and sales, they'll never truly be lined up, in which you feel completely confident, completely certain, and completely grounded in who you are, what you do, how you do it, who you do it for, why you do it. And so that's why I start kind of on a foundational level. And why is one of those things, is really being able to identify what that why is, and how that starts to bleed into your marketing and into your sales, to where it's all just one fluid system that's really kind of just building on top of itself as you move forward from there.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it would seem that it is very effortless then, after a while, maybe, because you are not trying to be someone who you're not, and you're just how you present yourself, how you speak, how you do everything, communication, then kind of just starts to be just you do like who you are, and people who are attracted to that and are attracted to you being authentic and vulnerable as well to whatever point you may be comfortable with. That seems like it then seems to be something very fun also.
Yeah.
You have a Facebook group which is called Work Less, Make More. Why did you choose that name, and what can people get from that group?
Yeah. So, I mean, Work Less, Make More was...
Did you get a lot of slack from the industry?
Yeah, I did. And I would say that under the table, I know I still do. Work Less, Make More, you know, it's interesting because some things... I think the fascinating thing about life is that some things ring true for people, maybe even before they are true for people. They kind of come from within before maybe they're actually your reality. And that was the case for me, is I had this intuitive insight, knowledge, whatever it was, something was coming up, and these words just like, I don't even remember how they came about, but they came about, and I was just like, that's it right there. That's what I want. And it's fascinating. This last year, I had another kind of revelation this last year, that growing up, I was always the... I was the guy growing up, whether it was in school, whether it was like a chore I had to do, no matter what it was, I was the person who would do the least amount of work and come out with just the right result to where I could pass, right? Like, I was an ABC student, and I was just like, I never studied. I never did the material. I literally was the cram right before the test, take the test, pass the test, move on to the next one. Yeah. Like,
that's me as well.
Yeah. And for a long time, I judged myself for that. And I've questioned that for the first 25 to 30 years of my life. I questioned, like, you're worthless. I judged myself so much and shamed myself for being that person. And it wasn't until this last year that it came back around, where I was just like, oh my gosh, it wasn't that I was, you know, worthless, or that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't disciplined or wasn't reliable or, you know, focused or whatever. And I fell on the sword of ADD so much. But what that really was me just realizing from an intuitive place what wasn't serving me, and recognizing what would serve me and what would at least get me by in a very broken system. And so that's a whole other part of this, is that we don't have to work as much as we do. On a surface level, if anything. The actual tangible work that we do, the effort that we put in, if you're putting in an immense amount of effort, and any business takes effort. I don't want it to make this sound like it's like rainbows and unicorns, like you just sit around and do nothing and money's going to flow. That is not what this is about, but it's about recognizing who you are and realizing that when you're in alignment with who you are, and that can always be more and more and more refined. The more refined and in alignment you are with yourself, the more effortless, the more fun, the less serious, the less stressful everything in your life becomes, whether it's relationships, your health, your business, your finances, every area of your life really starts to feel freedom. And once you have an inner world freedom, that's how you create an outer world freedom. And so work less, make more was something that came to me before I was truly working less and making more. It was a message I was preaching before I was truly working less and making more. But it was something that once I really started to feel work less, make more, that's when it really started to take off. Because then I could create a system and process in which I could help other people do it. And so it's really the entire message behind it is just authenticity and how to be in alignment with yourself to where you don't have to put so much effort into what you do, but instead you're putting the work in on who you are and you're developing your character and you're developing your integrity and you're aligning with your values and you're really showing up and being a high value individual to where you can create a highly valuable brand. And that's just one of those things. You can work with less clients and make more money, or you can work with more clients and you can make less money, you know? And so we all have choices, and life is going to guide you based on what choices you make. The quality of your life is going to be determined by the quality of choices you make. And so the entire message is really about being effective and being efficient and how to just hone in on who you are and show up true to yourself for the value of others.
Well, do you have any tips for people that are like highly motivated right now to dive into that whole topic? Obviously, joining your Facebook group is a great start. You have like hours and hours of free material there. Just like I mentioned, the phone script that helped us immensely already and will help us immensely in the future. Obviously, we're sure about that. And I think last time you talked about a few questions one could ask yourself that might help you like go into that direction of finding out why you do what you do and what really influenced you maybe in your life.
Yeah. Finding your why, it can be a very simple process. I say that, however, depending on where you are at, you can overthink it, of course. And finding your why and the why in terms of why you exist. There is a bit of a deeper process that I walk people through. However, a very basic process to really start to gain some clarity around why you exist is starting by identifying the three most life transformative things that have ever happened to you in life. These may be really positive, really insightful experiences that were really positive for you, or these could be incredibly heavy, incredibly challenging, incredibly what a lot of people would maybe label negative events, traumatic events that have happened to you. The three most life transforming things that have ever happened to you, identifying those, and then asking yourself, who was I before this event and who was I after the event? Your why is the transformation that you went through. And as you kind of dig into those top three, you could of course do more than three, but I find that focusing on the top three is all you really need to do. But once you do that, you're going to start to see a correlation between the transformation that you have actually gone through by having these three events happen in your life. And once you identify what that transformation is, and you actually start to intentionally help other people make that transformation, that's when you start to find a greater alignment. And so really digging in, it takes a lot of stillness and kind of meditation to just sit with those things and to explore those things. And I also want to be really honest that it takes an immense amount of courage to do that work. Some people have been through some wildly difficult things that they don't want to revisit, things that they don't want to go back to in their mind. And I understand that. And if anything, there is no rush. Like, and I think that that's kind of a paradox in and of itself, because you're kind of like, well, I want to grow my business and I want to, you know, feel more freedom and have more money or whatever. So maybe I feel like there is a rush, right? But the clarity that you will gain from all of this will come in you slowing down and slowing down every part of your life to really be able to be more observant and less reactionary, more responsible, and less triggered. And so as we kind of do that inner work of learning how to find stillness and learning how to just observe things, just watch them without an opinion, we step into creativity, we step into curiosity, and we step out of fear, we step out of judgment, and we start to actually live the way that we want to live. So that's kind of a starting process that I would say if you are wanting to explore your why. I have kind of a I don't even know how many steps it is, maybe a 10-step process that I really walk people through, just to where it just kind of takes them into a deeper meditation within themselves to really get crystal clear. And having a conversation can really be helpful with that as well.
That's amazing. I think I could, I would just like to do it right away. Let's do it. it's very, very interesting. And I think we can all kind of get hung up on when starting a business on like all those like external things like gear and a website and Google Analytics and stuff like that, all that like technical stuff. And we kind of, maybe we forget to take care of ourselves, take care of us personally, our personal life, as you talked about yourself, with your marriage at first, kind of like working 90 hours a week, just going deeper and recognizing that it's not only something, the business is not only something outside of yourself, but also just something that you have to take care of yourself so you can take care of others. That's really also something I really got out of this conversation. Yeah. And I'm so happy to have had you on. And maybe you can plug again where people can find you. So I'm very, very happy to have had you on.
Yeah. Thanks, Jan. I really appreciate it, man. This is always, I feel like this conversation is one that can always, like, it could go on for hours and hours and hours. You can just keep exploring the depths of the mind, you know? So I really appreciate you having me on twice to talk about this.
Exactly.
I'd say the best place to interact with me, where you can have the most like kind of interaction and intimacy with me, would be in the Facebook group. That's my community. I pour all of my effort into that right now. So that's just searching Work Less, Make More on Facebook. There is the free phone script in there, as well as there's a free masterclass kind of training that goes along with that. And there's some other bonuses that I actually share an actual phone call with me and one of my clients. So you can get the phone script, you can get the training, and actually see it and listen to it in action. So that's all in there. You can follow me on Instagram. So just at Robert J. Hill. I'll admit I haven't posted a ton recently. It's something that's going to be ramping up soon. And when I say soon, I don't know exactly what that means, but it's coming. More Instagram's coming. I have primarily on my Instagram is more of my old wedding work, but it's going to be more kind of business education going forward. And then my website is Robert J. Hill. That's my old kind of wedding website. It's terrible. it's proof that you don't have to have a great website to book a $10,000-$20,000 client. But my education website is just education.robertjhill.com. And that's really just going to point you back to the Facebook group as well. So come join the Facebook group.
Gotcha. Nice. Yeah, I really recommend everyone do that. And thanks again so much. And I think there will be, I don't know, maybe in a year or so, I'd love to do another one. Go deeper, go talk about whatever, maybe something else you realized or learned in that year or whenever that is. So talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Jan.
Das war die heutige Episode mit Robert. Ich bin gespannt, wie da auch die Resonanz ist. Wir hatten ja mit Max Hadik schon einen englischsprachigen Gast und ja, sind selbst immer auch ganz gespannt, so ein bisschen über den deutschsprachigen Tellerrand zu gucken und uns auch Gäste reinzuholen, die vielleicht nochmal ganz andere Gedanken haben. Wenn ihr noch nicht in unserer Facebook-Gruppe seid, dann schaut auf jeden Fall dort mal vorbei. Dort ist auch so der beste Platz generell, um auch über die Podcast-Episoden zu sprechen, falls ihr Ideen habt, wie man die Episoden verbessern kann. Wenn ihr Wunschgäste habt, dort ist the place to be. Deswegen schaut da mal vorbei, die Hochzeitsvideografie-Gruppe auf Facebook. Euch noch eine ganz schöne Woche. Bleibt gesund und wir hören uns.